Thank you all so much for being here. It's just a joy to look out and see so many parents of our churches, so many familiar faces. So much of the time I'm just running by on a Sunday morning and making sure that the rooms are ready for us to take your kids, but it's truly a joy to serve you and just to have you here. So something of what we want to do today is also we just want to point out some resources that we think are helpful to you guys. Like Jay already said, we got some books discounted at the bookstore, and so I want to just help you know just a little bit about why we picked these resources. So starting out, we have The Acrostic of God back there by Jonathan Gibson and Timothy Brindle, and I chose this one because my four-month son loves this series, and the pictures are great. It's an acrostic. It's helping them learn theology that's centered in the gospel. So there's actually, like, I think four books to the series. This is the first one about theology of God. It's just a great way to introduce who God is to your young children in a memorable way. The next one is Little Pilgrim's Big Journey, put out by Lithos Kids. And Lithos Kids is an awesome publishing company if you aren't already aware of them. You should go on their website and just look at what they have. The guy who sort of founded it, he actually went to Master's Seminary and served here at Grace Church for a while. And so it's really coming from a really solid theological framework and doctrinal basis. And Little Pilgrim's Big Journey is a great way for you to introduce your kids to the famous Pilgrim's Progress written by John Bunyan. And just great illustrations that'll keep them engaged. And there's three parts to that. The first part is the one we're putting on discount today. Lastly, this book, Treasuring Christ When Your Hands Are Full, by Gloria Furman, for moms. I did not read this, but my wife did, and she enjoyed it. She thought it was a great book, just pointing moms to the gospel, our sufficiency in Christ, and that really he's what's most important, and he's what gives meaning to your motherhood. And I do have, the problem is, the bookstore couldn't get this book on time, so I don't have them in the bookstore for you, but I have one to give away. So who out there is the newest mom? Okay, so if you have a child or had a child that is, if you're willing to admit, due date the furthest out, we will count that, okay? So due date, anyone expecting a child in summer? Raise your hand if you're expecting a child in summer. Okay, we have one. Anyone in fall? Okay, okay, Rich, give me a due date. September? Anyone past September? Okay, what's... October 3rd. Anyone past October 3rd want to admit? All right, let's go with October 3rd. You can come and get this. Congratulations. Yeah. Great. Well, let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Ephesians 3. That's where we're going to be for our first session, is Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14. And I'll read the passage and then pray, and then we'll get started. So Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you have given us such wisdom, that in your word there is everything that we need for life and godliness, and everything that we need for our parenting. Lord, we pray that you would refresh us in your word. We pray that your gospel would transform us each and every day, because we know that as we look to Christ and his glory, we are transformed into his image from one glory to the next. So we pray, Lord, that you would accomplish that work this morning and this afternoon. Pray that you would give us ears to hear what your word has to say. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I don't think I have to convince any one of you of your weaknesses, neediness, and inadequacies in parenting. And let's be honest with ourselves. As parents, we want what is best for our kids. We desperately want them to know Jesus as their Savior and Lord. We want them to love us. We want them to marry a godly spouse one day. We want to know their needs and be able to meet them. And as a parent, I guarantee that you have experienced, probably many more times than I have as a new parent, the heart-wrenching feeling of either not knowing a need that your child has or knowing it and not being able to meet it. So, for example, my wife and I, we have a four-month-old, and he's our first son, and there are many times when he is obviously upset for some reason, but we can't figure out what he needs. You try feeding him, you try rocking him, and eventually he settles down, but still you're like, I don't know what that was about. I don't know what he needed. And it can be frightening sometimes to not know their needs. Or me as a dad, it's very obvious if I'm alone with him for over 2 hours, it becomes very obvious that I can't meet his need for food. So I'm just not able to. And I'm a long way from parenting teens, but I'm sure those of you that have teens out there, there's times that you feel inadequate and needy. And all of our inadequacies can be sometimes discouraging because we remember that although God is sovereign, he has given us a high calling as parents. He's given us much responsibility, much influence on our children. Their future is shaped in some measure by how we parent them. But the good news is that we're not God, and that shows us that, and our Heavenly Father is not like us. Our Father knows our needs perfectly, even before we know them. He's fully aware, and not only is he aware of our needs, he's able to meet them in his perfect timing. God is so wise that he even knows what things are really the needs that we have and what things are just desires that we have that are not good for us. God knows what our needs are, and he's able to meet them. And being a faithful parent on your own is impossible. But when we rely on God's gospel power to blow through our sails, we can rest in the truth that our Father meets our needs and helps us grow in glorifying him in our parenting. It's only possible to live faithfully as a Christian parent when you're depending on God's power available to you through the gospel. His power is made perfect in our weakness. And that's what gospel power looks like. So for this theme, I've chosen Ephesians 3:14 through 21 because it's a prayer, and prayers show our neediness. And Ephesians is all about our glorious calling as the church and as Christians that have been saved by the good news of Jesus and how we ought to walk worthy of that calling. And when we walk worthy of that calling, that impacts our relationships with each other, impacts our marriages, our families, our workplace, all of it gets impacted and shaped by wanting to walk worthy of the calling we've been given. So in Ephesians chapters 1 through 3, Paul unveils, he puts on display the mystery of the glorious calling that has been given to us as the church. And then in chapters 4 through 6, he talks about how we ought to walk worthy of that calling in our lives. And in this prayer, in 14 through 21, in this prayer, Paul is explaining how we walk worthy. How do we get from our calling to then walking worthy? His answer is, It's through God's power that is being put on display in us through His Spirit. It's not us that's able to walk worthy on our own. God has to work within us. And as He's working within us, and as we rely on His strength and power, we're able to then grow in walking worthy of the calling that we've been given, and even the calling we've been given as Christian parents. And so as the church, we are Christ's body and the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Paul teaches that we're the new temple and that we've been raised from the dead spiritually with Christ and seated with Him in the heavenlies. But only God, who can do far more abundantly than we can ask or think, is capable of helping us walk worthy of that great calling. In the same way, only God is able to show us our greatest needs in parenting. And He's the only one that's able to empower us to, through His gospel, to live worthy of our calling as Christians and parents. So how do you carry out the command to not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord? Well, not with your own strength. Only God's gospel power can give you the strength to be a faithful parent. So in Paul's prayer, we're going to have our hearts aligned with what our greatest needs are and be encouraged to trust God's power to give us the strength to glorify Him in our parenting. So we will see three steps that teach us to prayerfully rely on God's gospel power as we seek to live worthy as Christian parents. So three steps that teach us to prayerfully rely on God's gospel power. The first step is to confess your need. We see that in Paul's prayer in verses 14 through 19, to confess your need. And Paul's prayer request he makes for Ephesians shows what we need most. We have many ideas of what we need, but part of why we're doing this conference on the gospel as it relates to parenting is because Scripture's pretty clear that our needs all tie back to the gospel and our need for reliance on the Lord, because glorifying Him is what it is all about. And so Paul's requests align our hearts with God's purpose. And this first step of confessing our need, Paul then is going to show that with three requests that he makes in his prayer. So we're just going to go through those three requests that he makes and then apply that specifically to parenting. So these three requests. So Paul's first request, and his longest, is in verses 14 through 17. It shows our need for spiritual power. So he says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." Paul's request is that they be strengthened with power through His Spirit in their inner being. But before he gets to that request, Paul says who his prayer is addressed to, and I think that's important. He says that he's addressing his prayer to the Father. And the Father is from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. When we get to pray to God as our loving Father because we are in His beloved Son, Jesus. And this Father we pray to, He is so great that every grouping of created things in heaven and on earth is named by Him. It finds its meaning from Him. Your family was providentially brought into existence, created and known by this Father. He's the one who gives meaning to your family, and meaning especially to you dads out there, because He's the perfect Father. So when we pray, we can have great assurance that our Father hears and cares for us, just like a father, you as a father, care about your child's needs and want to hear them. So Paul then makes his request for spiritual power. He says that this power is given according to the vast and infinite wealth of the Father's glory. When we pray to a God who is infinitely powerful and wise, righteous, and compassionate. Surely he is able to give us the strength that comes through the Holy Spirit. And I think we understand that we need God to give us spiritual power. We are dependent on him in our Christian lives. We understand that we must abide in Christ if we're to bear much fruit. But listen to the reason that Paul gives for why we need spiritual strength. He says in verse 17 that we need spiritual strength so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. In John 14, 23, Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." When you get saved, when you got saved, Christ came to dwell in your heart through his Spirit. But the question is, why is Paul then praying for this to happen if it's already happened to you as a believer? Well, let me put it this way. It's one thing for Christ to move into your heart when you get saved, but it's a lifelong process for him to make your heart a settled dwelling place. When you got married to your spouse and you started living together after you got married, that changed your home and how you lived, didn't it? I mean, I know for me, when I got married, before that, I moved into our apartment to sort of, you know, help just make sure it was ready, and it looked like a barren wasteland. There was nothing in there, no decor, terrible lighting, no good smells. It didn't really even feel like a home. But when I got married, it just completely changed. It took time, but it happened quite fast. And as it happened, the home became more and more my wife and I's home. And then, let me not even mention whenever you add kids to the mix. That completely changes your home and the dynamic there and how you live. Well, that's what Christ does when he comes to dwell in us through his Spirit. Our Christian walk is about Christ dwelling in us, shaping more and more of our lives. How we think, how we love, how we feel. Christ dwelling within us is to shape more and more of that. So do you see your life that way? Do you see your parenting through that lens? Your parenting is less about the way that your children turn out and more about doing the will of Christ. Your home will be the best place for your children when it's conversations, it's time, it's meals, it's entertainment, it's discipline. And your marriage is lived under the lordship of Christ. Ephesians 1:10 says that God is uniting. He's summing up all things in heaven and on earth in Christ. Christian parenting, and your home is about participating in that great summing up of all things in Christ. He is the head of all things that's been given to the church, and we get the privilege of bringing our parenting under his lordship. So how do you grow in having Christ indwelling, reach into every corner of your heart and life? Paul tells us, he says that Christ dwells in your heart through faith. The key to enjoying and growing in that reality that Christ dwells in you is to feed your faith. And so as Romans 10 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. As your knowledge of Christ grows and your love for his gospel grows, your faith grows as well. That's how, if you're ever wondering, how do I grow my faith? How do I grow my trust in the Lord? Scripture's so clear that it wasn't just that you got saved when you heard the word of Christ. Your faith continues to grow by the word of Christ. And so you will enjoy Christ and more of your life will be transformed by him as you see how wise and gracious of a Lord he is. And you'll want nothing more than to bring even the smallest details of your life, the smallest details of your parenting to bring those under his lordship. You'll grow in knowing that he is the Lord who governs every aspect of your life, but he is also the Lord who graciously forgives you when you fail. He helps you repent. He empowers you to change. Christ will keep making his home in your life and in your parenting, so the sweet aroma of Christ will be evident to those looking on in your family. It's not because of how great of a parent you are or I am, but because of how great our Lord is. So that is your need, and you need spiritual power to enjoy Christ's continued indwelling presence. And to walk worthy of your calling as a Christian and as a parent, you need God-given power for that. So confess that need, pray for that need, and trust that God delights to meet that need. Let's look at Paul's second request. He then says that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You need a growing knowledge of Christ's love to walk worthy of your calling as a Christian and parent. Paul prays, he says, if you're a believer, he says that you are birthed by love and grown by love. So you're begun by love, and that's what he means by you're being rooted and grounded in love. In the same way that roots are what give life and stability to a tree, and a foundation gives shape and firmness to a building, so God's love is the foundation and lifeblood of the Christian life. Paul has been talking all about that love in the previous three chapters of Ephesians, and God's love is why you were chosen before the foundation of the world. God's love placed you in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. God's love is why you were redeemed and given forgiveness of sins. God's love is why you were spiritually raised with Christ and seated in the heavenly places in him. God's love is even why Gentiles, most of us here, were grafted into God's family. If you're a Christian, you are saved and exist because of God's love. But love is not just what got you started. Love is what will carry you as a Christian and parent. That is why Paul earnestly prays that his readers would have the spiritual strength to know the love of Christ that is beyond knowledge. Christ's love is so wide, so long, so high, so deep that you will never find the end of it. You will never comprehend Christ's love for you completely. He, the eternal Son of God, came from heaven and took the form of a man and a servant. He who is infinitely rich in heaven became poor for the sake of his bride. As a true man, he was completely obedient to the Father and remained obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And as he hung on that cross, he took God's wrath and punishment that his bride deserved. As you think of Christ on the cross, the filth of your sin should be apparent to you. If that is what it takes to take my sins away, sin must be truly horrendous. Your sin must be truly horrendous. My sin. But his mercy, his love is that much greater. He died and then rose again, showing that he had defeated sin and death, and that the Father has been satisfied with his sacrifice. And Jesus is now in heaven, fully able to save all that come to him in faith. And some of you, maybe that is cold to you, and maybe that's because you don't know Christ's love savingly. And let me tell you, first step to being a faithful parent is, are you right with the Lord? Do you know his love? Have you been saved by him? And the beautiful thing is that Christ's love is so great that he will not cast out any that come to him. So even today, if you're realizing that you don't think you know Christ's love savingly, you can come to him today and enjoy his love that gave himself so that you could be freed from your sins and have eternal life. But if you've come to know this love of Christ savingly, he is your delight, yours to delight in and know more each and every day. And here's the secret. That's where the power is to godly living. In Ephesians 5:2, Paul's going to say, walk in love. Why? As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to the Lord. Later, he's going to call husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So are you struggling to love your spouse? Are you struggling to be patient with your kids? Does parenting feel like a burden? Look at Christ's love for you. As you gaze at the glory of his love, you will be motivated and strengthened to love your family. That is why you need to be strengthened by God to understand, to comprehend the vast love of Christ more and more. You need a God-given knowledge of Christ's love to be empowered then to walk worthy of his calling. Let's look at Paul's last request, which is his shortest. His last request is a request for maturity. In verse 19, he says that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It's a prayer for spiritual maturity, and I say that because I appreciate the way that the LSB translates this verse when it says that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. The fullness of God is the goal that we are increasingly being filled up to. We are being filled up by God with greater and greater spiritual maturity until we are complete in being all that God intends us to be. When our son was born in December, he was born 3 weeks early, so he was really small, just under 6 pounds. And he made those newborn clothes look gigantic on him. The sleeves were all floppy, the legs were all floppy. You know, he looked like one of those balloon creatures outside the car dealerships. That's what he looked like in his clothes. And he had to grow up into them. It took him time, and he's still growing up into the clothes that he's been given over the showers, and we still have more that he doesn't fit in. But we're like that. The goal is the fullness of God. God's very own righteousness and purity and love that he wants us to be as much as is possible for a created being. But that fullness is like a set of clothes that we are spending our whole lives here on earth growing up into. In fact, sometimes what we're putting on in the Christian life might feel and look a little awkward to us at first. As you obey and you learn to be patient, it might feel a little awkward at first or look a little awkward because that's not who you were before. But as you're maturing, you're growing up in to what God wants you to be. So let me remind you that your parenting will be only as vibrant as your own growth in the Lord is. If you're not growing into the spiritual maturity that God has called you to, how can you hope to lead your children to maturity? To walk worthy of your calling requires a continual growth in spiritual maturity. And how does that filling up happen? It happens as the two other requests that Paul made are taking place in your life. As you are increasing in your faith in Christ, so he shapes more and more of your life. And as you are increasing in your knowledge of his love for you, the fruit of that is spiritual maturity. We need that spiritual maturity, and that's why Paul prays for it. So those are Paul's three requests, and those are what we need to be a faithful Christian and parent. You need God to give you spiritual strength leading to Christ settling into your life. You need God to give you the strength to comprehend the greatness of Christ's love so that you can be empowered to walk in love with your family. And you need God to keep filling you up to his fullness so that you mature day by day. We are needy as Christians, and we know we're needy as parents. So the first step to relying on God's power as a Christian parent is confess that neediness, recognize it, and align your heart with what God says you need most. But let's move to the second step. So the first step was to confess your neediness, and that was the longest because that's the bulk of the passage. So we'll pick up the pace a little bit from here as the passage is much shorter now. So the second step is to trust his ability. Trust his ability. The good news about confessing your neediness to God is that he is more than able to meet your needs. Paul's closing doxology is balm to our doubtful hearts. Maybe you haven't voiced it out loud to yourself, but it's easy to get overwhelmed with our weakness and inadequacy and doubt that God is able to overcome those. It's easy to doubt God's power to care for us when we pray. For one, don't doubt God's care. Just remember why you call him Father. He's the perfect Father. And that means he never stops loving you or caring for you with any need you lay at his feet. You are called to cast all your burdens on the Lord because he cares for you. But he not only cares, he has the wisdom to know our needs, and he has the power to give us what we need most. There is nothing you can bring to God that is too big for him. Paul says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we could ask or think, according to the power at work within us." This is good news. We just heard how needy we are, but now Paul tells us the good news is that God is able to do way, way more than you could ask or think. God's purposes are so much bigger than yours, and even when you are not making the prayer requests you should, or you don't know how to pray, God is still doing more than you could ask or think. Yes, we work with God and can work against who he is forming us into, but God is still the one who will get us to the finish line. This shouldn't make you sit back and want to do nothing or not care about the details of walking with the Lord, but instead it should motivate you to pursue faithfulness to your calling as a Christian parent because God is able to do more than you can ask or think. Can you be a faithful parent on your own? Absolutely not. But are you on your own? Never. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you even to the end of the age." Furthermore, Paul says that God's power is already working within us. He says, according to the power at work within us. What is that power? Well, it's the power exercised by the Holy Spirit in our lives as he leads us into truth and helps us grow in Christ-likeness. And here's how vast that power is. In Ephesians 1:19 through 22, listen to what Paul prays for the Ephesians. Listen to what he says. He prays that they would know what is the immeasurable greatness of God's power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. The power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power at work within every believer. So as we all seek to be better, more faithful parents, I want to encourage you to trust. Trust God's ability. God is able to forgive you and cleanse you when you fail. He promises to do that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we desperately need that good news. But the good news doesn't stop there. It's also that he doesn't just forgive us and leave us there. He doesn't just expect us to get up and get on our own and be better parents in our own strength. God knows that we can't be better parents on our own, and instead, he invites us to trust him. He invites us to trust his strength and truly believe that his power is made perfect in our weakness. And as Paul's showing us his prayer, a very simple but profound way that we express that need, that we express that reliance, is prayer. Is prayer. I know we all don't pray probably as we think we ought to. And there's forgiveness for that too. But don't forget that prayer is such a natural and normal thing for a Christian because it's what expresses our neediness to the Lord. So that's Paul's second step, is that we need to trust his ability. Well, let's look at his third step and his final step. He says we need to love his purpose, to love God's purpose. To enjoy God's gospel power working in our lives, we need to confess our need and trust his ability, but we need to love God's purpose in it all. And this is the real point of Paul's doxology. He says in verse 21, "To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." In the beginning of Ephesians, Paul opened up with an incredible praise to the triune God for his work of redemption that extends from before the foundation of the world to all eternity. And throughout that hymn of praise to God, he kept saying, "To the praise of his glory." Everything that God has done from eternity to eternity is about his glory shining forth. It's because of his glory that you were created. You and I were created in the image of God so that as humanity filled the earth, God's glory would fill the earth through us. He created us in such a way that we would never be truly satisfied with anything except his glory. And Paul taught in Ephesians 2 that we, the church, Jew and Gentile, are now the new humanity, the body of Christ, brought into being to continue God's mission of his glory filling the earth. That's why Paul says, "To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus." Paul is so filled with wonder at God's work in our salvation and in Christ that he must express his love for God's purpose of filling the earth with his glory. Paul knows that God's purpose is that everything in this world would be to the praise of the glory of his grace. And God is accomplishing that purpose now through Christ the head in his body on earth. He wants nothing more than God's glory to shine forth through the church in Christ Jesus forever and ever. So do you love God's purpose? Does his mission of glory thrill you and drive you? As Christians, parents, what will sustain you in the ups and downs of your walk with the Lord and your parenting of your children? What will motivate you and keep you from growing weary? It's a devotion to and love for God's glory and his purpose, which reaches far beyond you. You need a devotion to a purpose that's beyond your selfish desires to sustain you. And God's glory is what continues to give us life as Christians. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that, "And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to the next." The glory of Christ is the source of transformation in life for you as a Christian. Remember when Isaiah saw God's glory, saw Christ's glory in Isaiah 6? His first reaction was to recognize his sin and unworthiness. But after God cleansed him, he wanted nothing more than to be used by the Lord, even if it meant going to a people that would reject him. God's glory is what brings life to your weary soul. It's what motivates you to live for him. And as a parent, a love for God's purpose of glory should change everything. It will not only motivate you and strengthen you, it will give purpose to your parenting. You will want to be an excellent parent to the glory of God, but you also know that he is glorified as his strength is made perfect in your weakness. The glory of God is why you would choose to be patient rather than lose your temper with your children. The glory of God is why you would openly confess your sins against your children and ask them for forgiveness. The glory of God is why you would do the painful work of discipline. You understand that teaching your children that God has a righteous standard and there are consequences when we rebel, that gives glory to God and prepares their hearts for the gospel. The glory of God is why the Bible should be the most important book in your home. As 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whatever you do, you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You want to walk worthy of your calling as a Christian parent? Love God's purpose. And so we're needy as parents. Every day, we need help to be faithful. And what you need most is God's spiritual power to enable you to see more of Christ so that you can glorify him more in your home. Thankfully, God has the power and love for you to meet your needs. He is infinitely powerful, and he is exercising that power even now toward you as he helps you to love his purpose of glory more. You don't have the resources within yourself to be a faithful parent, but God is more than able to supply your need and forgive you when you fail. The same powerful God who raised the Savior from the dead and exalted him high is now exercising his power toward us who believe. Our hope as needy parents is that we have a powerful God who loves us and is exercising his power toward us every day. Thank him for that. Worship him for that. And so in that spirit, let me close by reading to you the words of a hymn, Praise to the Lord Almighty. And think how it meditates on God the Almighty. And let its words sink in and stir you to worship our great God. Praise to the Lord the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All you who hear, now to his temple draw near, join me in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord, who over all things so wonderfully reigneth, shelters you under his wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires have been granted in what he ordained? Praise to the Lord, who doth prosper your work and defend you. Surely his goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do if with his love he befriend thee. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are almighty. You are great God and worthy to be praised. Lord, we recognize that everything in this world, the reason you created us is for your glory. And so, Lord, we pray that today, as we continue on, as we continue thinking about parenting, about your gospel and how that transforms us and shapes our parenting, we pray, Lord, that you would help us be motivated by your glory. It's what matters most. It's what gives us life. So, Lord, we give glory to you now and pray that you would receive praise and honor from our lips and from our lives and from our parenting. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.